This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
216-474-0092. You need that number all day long, especially if you want to get in on quick predicts at the end of the show about 140. So go about your business. Listen to us all day as you're driving around or you're sitting around at work or you're at home. Don't forget to use, your smart speakers. We love that too. Play 92.3 The Fan. That's a big one. If you want to get in, 216-474-0092. Talking a little bit about the Guardians and the Tigers. John Morosi was just with us. And don't forget, the Guardians still have to put their roster in, and there's still some decisions that need to be made. And I was trying to remember where it was. Hoynesy had it in his story today where they just need to turn that roster in tomorrow morning, just a couple hours before the game. So even Detroit, probably the same thing. So they don't have to turn their roster in until tomorrow morning before the game. So maybe we'll hear who they're making active. Maybe we won't, but it doesn't make any sense for them to release it today. You should wait till absolutely the last second. I would think that the guys that are playing know if they're going to be on that 26-man roster, but it is what it is. And we'll get into some of those names here in a second. Your thoughts on John Morosi, what he had to say. I thought the interesting thing was, you know, maybe the days of, you know, whatting all over the AL Central could be over after this year. You know, I still don't think New York, Boston, major markets are always going to look down on the AL Central, with the exception of Chicago, because it's Chicago. But, I mean, we'll see. I wonder if there'll be more respect for the AL Central moving forward. Not that it matters. I mean, respect is earned, and so they've earned it this year.
I mean, the AL East is going to be a bloodbath for a good period of time.
It'll always be.
Exactly. That O's team is on the way up. The Yankees are what they are. I despise them, and I hope that they lose every single game, but they're good at baseball. And, you know, the Red Sox aren't going to be down for too long unless they want to continue to operate like they're the Pirates, in which case I'm all in. You know, they're more than welcome to cut costs all over the place and all that kind of thing.
I don't know. Do you think deep down they want to move? The White Sox?
Oh, I said the Red Sox.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the White Sox. I thought you said White Sox.
If the Red Sox left Boston, we all need to be fearful because, you know.
You know, they used to say that about the Browns, too. So
this, yeah, but the city of Boston's a little bit more violent than Cleveland is.
I don't know. The Braves left.
The city of Boston's a little bit. I mean, that's a whole city built around the idea of we threw the British out and we'll throw your butt out, too.
The Braves left.
Yeah, but they were replaced, and they were a secondary team too.
Okay, I'm just saying. I didn't mean to say, but I thought you said White Sox, so that's. I'm sorry.
No, I mean I was going through these. Look, the Central is playing better, and the arrow is pointing up on all of these teams. The arrow is pointing up on the Guardians. It's pointing up on the Royals. It's pointing. The only team it's really not is the Twins, and they just canned their general manager. So we'll see where it goes from there. But look, I'm in on the Guards. I think the Guards can win this series. I really do. I think it is going to be close. I think it's going to be a white knuckler the whole way through. But boy, oh boy, I think the Guards can win this one. This is going to be a fun one.
I think we're all looking to see if they go flat or if they're recharged. And I'm not saying that's based on their lineup. I'm saying that based on recent baseball history. As we watch these wildcard teams have such an impact in the playoffs and right? Are you with me on that? This is about how teams perform. Like Morosi was saying, you know, it's just, we all know it's a game of habit. It's a game of repetition. It's about doing the same thing over and over every time, 162 days. You know, when you're like going 20 days straight, going 21 days straight, and then you have a day off, that one 24-hour period, it feels like a week. And so, you know, having a week off has got to feel like, you know, having an off season off for this team right now. So, and I know they've tried to, you know, I heard Curtis Danberg saying they've been pumping crowd noise in and trying to do whatever they can to simulate what it's like to try to play during these playoff games. There is no simulation. The only simulation is getting out there on the field and playing during an actual playoff series. You know it as a fan. You know that ballpark has a much different feel during a playoff game or an opening day than it does any other game during the regular season. You know it. And sometimes players haven't experienced that. And let's not forget, you know, when they opened the ballpark in 95 and, you know, thinking about what it was like for those guys, all those great players still were a little overwhelmed by the moment because it was the playoffs. Hopefully quickly that goes by fast.
So it was cool. Our buddy Travis Sawchuk was on the X and having a conversation with, just kind of threw a tweet out there saying the Guardians are going to have a week between playing an opponent on the field, longest stretch since February. This is an issue to some extent, but for all the bye teams we saw last year, of course, the teams that had the bye are 3-8 to this point. That's where John Morosi was saying, hey, like, let's get a little bit bigger of a sample before we jump too far into the pool on the bye may not be good. Again, we've only had
good for teams that had successful regular seasons.
Correct.
Yeah.
Is it good for teams in the playoffs? The cool thing was, so Clint Hurdle ended up tweeting back at him and say it didn't work out well for us in 2007. He was the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates back then. 8 days after 2 days of not playing, your skin starts to crawl.
Yep.
So Sawchuk asked him, what would you do for the long break? And again, you can find this on Travis Sawchuk's X page if you want. Really haven't given it much thought. We had real scrimmages, live pitches, umpires. We pumped in crowd noise. Nothing comes close for the adrenaline rush. Probably make a road trip to an instructional league and play someone else for a couple of games. That's what Clint Hurdle responded back to Travis Sawchuk with. I thought that was really cool.
I'm wondering how much that's going to help, you know, what they've been able to do. There's nothing else they can do. You know, you saw they called up a lot of AAA guys to come on up here just to kind of fill out some rosters so that they could play full games. I look at this and we'll find out real quick tomorrow. That's all there is to it. You know, it's in the NBA, we talk about this rust. Remember how you would sit and watch the Cavaliers have to sit out, you know, for 5, 6, 7 days before they got to their next opponent because they were able to sweep whoever they were playing pretty quick or win in 5 games. And so in baseball, it feels like it's a little bit different, but he's right. That there's a little bit of a change there. What else did you get out of John Morosi?
I think the big one I got out of him, too, is that he's a guards believer. I mean, he came out and said, hey, you've got a professional in Jose Ramirez. The big thing with this series is going to be the fact that you're going to see Scooble. If it goes 5, you're probably going to see him twice. If you can keep it shorter than that, you're going to see Tarek Scooble in game 2. And then after that, I mean, it's... The great line A.J. Hinch had before the Astros series, he says it's going to be Scooble and then it's going to be chaos. He called it pitching chaos.
Right.
And pitching chaos seemed to work well for them going up against the Astros. Now, again, that was a 3-game series. They only played 2 of those. So he only had 1 bullpen game. So I wonder what this looks like going into the series because the Tiger bullpen in the last month has been awesome. But the Guardian bullpen for the last year has been awesome. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup to keep an eye on. Is okay, so you're going to see a lot of the bullpen of a team that you've played. I think they're up to, 14 times a year now? 13 times a year? It's somewhere in between 13, that. It used to be 17.
Yeah, the Guardians won the season series with 7-6.
Yeah, so 13 times.
Yeah.
So that bullpen, you got a healthy Riley Green for the Tigers, who's been playing his butt off this season, has been one of the better players in baseball. I like the guards in this matchup, man. They just, like, you gotta win game 1 because Scooble in game 2 is going to be an uphill battle. And if you already have one in your pocket before seeing Scooble, you feel better. At least that's how I look at it. I mean, look, it's baseball. You know, you could walk out there and just not have it that day, and all of a sudden I sound stupid. So, but yeah, I would like to have game 1 in my pocket before having to see Scooble in game 2.
I'm just wondering what these games are going to look like run-wise. Like, don't you feel like these are going to be all low-scoring games?
3-2s, 4-2, 4-3 is kind of what I'm thinking.
It is weird, though. The Tigers have been able to – I'm just looking at, like, their last month of play and how many times they were able to put more than 5 runs on the board. Probably, I don't know, 15 to 20% of the time they've been able to do that. I'm just eyeing that up real quick, you know, like – put 7 up on Tampa.
I mean, Parker Meadows has been on a serious hot streak for the Tigers. But on top of that, I mean, Parker Meadows sounds like a board game company, but like, let's be honest, the guy's been on a hot streak of late. So those are the kind of guys in the playoffs that come back and kind of haunt you are the ones that are like, okay, they get on this hot streak and they just carry it over. And hopefully the guards, it could be Jose Ramirez. Hopefully you get April, May, June, Stephen Kwan. Hopefully that guy shows up who is just a menace on the base paths, finds himself standing on first base, maybe not hitting 400. Be great if he did, but find your way onto first base. Same thing, a good Josh Naylor who isn't chasing, Josh Naylor who's patient at the dish, and you just need 1 to 2 other guys to catch a hot streak. And that's how you start making these deep playoff runs, is you just need, like, you need three guys hitting well. You need three guys who are going to give you really good at-bats. Maybe four guys who are going to give you really good at-bats and aren't automatic outs. And that's how you make these runs.
All right, let me, I want to throw this at you too again, because we talked about how the Guardians don't have to have the roster in until tomorrow, just a couple hours before the game. I'm just curious who's on the roster, who's not, because they do have a lot of guys that are bubble guys that you can, you could utilize on a playoff roster. And so I'm just going to throw a couple names on you. Schneeman, I feel like, you know, Jeff does this all the time. Schneeman, Freeman, and Martinez or Arias. Like, when you look at those guys, especially outfield, you put Noel in there, and you also could put Miles Straw in there for guys that could play outfield. What does that look like for you outside of the starters? Because those are all guys that would come in late.
I would put Straw in there as a pinch runner defensive outfield replacement.
I want Straw on the roster.
I don't want him getting at-bats, but, like, so forever and a half ago, for those of you baseball nerds, you'll remember this. Remember Jerod Dyson? Like, Jerod Dyson found his way onto, like, six different playoff rosters just for the role of running fast and playing center field. That's what I want Miles Straw for. Just
no relation
run fast,
to,
play center field.
No relation to Michael Jackson, the wide receiver, right? Dyson, Jackson. I don't know if you remember that whole name change that. Thing. Why do silly things like that stick in my mind?
Because that's what makes sports the best.
Yeah. All right, so of those guys, you Straw's got your...
I think Straw's in. I would put Straw on the roster just because I know I can put him in center field, I can put him in right field, and let's say somebody gets on base and I need a little bit more speed, a Josh Naylor later in a game, I could put Miles Straw in there as a pinch runner. Like, that's where I like having a guy like Straw. Because it's like, okay, I can put you in center field and you can go succeed out there if I need you for defensive replacement, and I can put you in a pinch running. I just don't want you to have a bat. In fact, don't even bring one. Leave the bat in AAA.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm looking at some of the other pitching prospects we could do. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Because, I mean, look, even Tristan McKenzie or Carlos Carrasco could be on the roster tomorrow morning. I mean, those names are there. I'm not saying they're going to be there, but they could be there. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show. I do want to talk about the Browns when we come back. And we've spent a lot of time talking about the offense and the struggles of the offense. I'm curious how you feel about the defense right now, because we started into a conversation the other day where I'm not disenchanted by the Browns defense. I'm not. And there are plenty of folks that just don't like that the front four for the Browns right now. And I'm just shaking my head for like 2 days since we had that conversation. I want to jump back into that too. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.